Amen. All right. So I want to do Bible study for maybe 40 minutes and then we will pray a powerful prayer here. So turn your Bible with me quickly. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 1, the Bible says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer up both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Even though he is chosen from among men, the reason for which he has been chosen is concerning things pertaining to God. And his duty is to offer up sacrifices and gifts. So it means that the context of our priesthood involves sacrifices. It also involves gifts. That's the context. If we say we have an altar, the substance, that altar is a metaphor that depicts sacrifice. As we study, you will find a few things. If we conduct an investigation to find, okay, places in scripture where people did things in the natural and it had an implication in the supernatural realm, one of such scriptures will be the book of Acts chapter 10. I'd like us to see something quickly as we travel in the scriptures. But don't forget that a high priest is chosen from among men and ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer up what? Sacrifices and gifts. Okay. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. Take notice. He said, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." Now, I'd like us to take note of these things. The man did something physical, earthly. But the intelligence that the angel is bringing is suggestive of the fact that the earthly things he did had an implication in the realms of heaven. In fact, Cornelius never had any idea that the things that he did struck a chord in heaven. If not for this feedback that took place, Cornelius was totally ignorant of the implication of his actions. And that's why we thank God that the angel was dispatched. And this man that was giving gifts and this man that was praying was an unbeliever. So I'm even wondering how he was able to concoct the prayer. Such prayer that ascended to the very before of God. Hallelujah. I want to believe that the man was surprised himself, that he actually caught God's attention. And because angels are not saddled with the responsibility of preaching the gospel, and he needed desperately to be saved, the angel came with strategic insight as to how he could locate the man that could bring him the message of salvation. Hallelujah. A journey began with Cornelius, and the starting point was that he gave alms and he prayed. I would have loved to have a sample of the kind of prayer that Cornelius prayed that caught the attention of heaven. So if we look at this, we can pick two things from this story. The first thing we can pick is that adequately articulated prayer in conformity with the will of God ascends into heaven. If the job of a priest is to offer off sacrifices and gifts to God, if that's what his job is, then we can pick a few utensils from the story of Cornelius that will give us insight into the things that we can present before God that can actually ascend before his presence. So from the example that we see in the book of Acts chapter 10, prayer is one of such things. Hallelujah. You are not with me. See, what we are trying to do is to find some clues in the Bible in order to adequately situate our priesthood and understand the practice of the altar as a New Testament saint. Because yesterday in our study, are you still with me? I'm feeling that you are far away from me. All right, please stay. Just stay for 40 minutes. You can be distracted after 40 minutes. This is one thing that we got in our lecture yesterday. Are you there? Hebrews 13, verse 10. We got this from our lecture yesterday. So I'm just trying to explain something. You see, this is what Gideon said. He said, we, talking about New Testament Christians, have an altar. So in the New Testament, we also have an altar. And the preacher yesterday took time to explain to us that the things that Moses built, he built according to the pattern that he saw on the mount. What Moses saw on the mount was the actual tabernacle. What he built was the replica. And that replica was actually pointing to the original. In the New Testament, we are not operating with the replica that Moses built. We are operating with the actual. And within the context of this actual, there is an altar. But our altar operates from heaven. Are you with me? For instance, if I speak in tongues, in the natural world, what I'm saying doesn't make meaning. But if you go to that sanctuary that is above, you will see the full implication of the activity that I'm carrying out, because the altar and the temple for my priesthood is domiciled in the heavenlies. Is that clear? Now, so we are trying to understand priesthood and the ministry of the altar from the standpoint of the New Testament. So we see this man, Cornelius. He brought, there were two things he did. One is what? He gave alms. Two is prayer. Now, just like thanksgiving, in thanksgiving, we have what is called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I hope you know what a sacrifice of thanksgiving is. For instance, the Bible says that in everything we should give thanks. That means even if there's a situation that looks bad, we are commanded by scriptures to give thanks in everything, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So there are several situations where it's difficult to give thanks because of the nature of the situation. And if you succeed in giving thanks, you were able to thank or offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We also have what is called a sacrifice of prayer, because the jurisdiction of the priest is to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. And from the lecture yesterday, we saw that the definition of an altar is either a practice or a place that perpetrates intercourse between the unseen and the seen realm. So I am emphasizing on altar as a practice in this my study. Are you with me? All right, so the guy was able to get God's attention with activities he did in the natural. He didn't even know that his actions had that level of potency, if not that the angel came and bore testimony. Prayer can also be a sacrifice. There's a prayer you can pray that is convenient. There's a prayer you can pray that is a sacrifice. Just like thanksgiving can be a sacrifice, praise can be a sacrifice, prayer can be a sacrifice. And if it's going to be a sacrifice, it's going to cost you something. It's not the kind of prayer you pray from the standpoint of convenience. Oh, you are not with me. All right, because you are not with me, let's try to open another scripture to expand the scope of what I'm trying to explain. Maybe it will give us some context. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, beginning from verse number 10. 2 Samuel 24, beginning from 10. Now, the situation we have here, which is the background behind the reading I want to do, is that David gave a directive for a census to be conducted in Israel. And it was not consistent with the instructions of God. Because from the perspective of God, Israel is so innumerable. Israel is beyond what you can number. Because today we are Israel. And when Abraham was taken to go about and to look at the stars and the sand on the seashore, if he can number them, the idea was that the followers of Abraham will be without number. And David attempted doing something that was contrary to the intentions of God. He gave a directive for a census. And this census took 9 months and 20 days to accomplish. A full inventory of the numerical strength of the nation, a full inventory of the people in the population that had the capacity to bear arms were fully articulated in the census that David called for. In all of Israel, for instance, there were 800 men that had the capacity to bear arms, and 800,000 men and 500,000 that had the capacity to bear arms in Judah. David is a warrior, and that kind of statistics will give him insight into how defended the landscape was. If we are talking about justification, there are several ways we can justify how that an army general will want an accurate census so that he will know how protected the land was. But he was not just an army general. He was a king in the nation that God founded by an act of his own will. God was a true ruler among his people, and he did not sanction that project. This was the fallout that took place thereafter. Verse number 10, 2 Samuel 24. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose one of them that I may do it unto thee. So God came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? That's number one. Will thou flee 3 months before thy enemies while they pursue thee? That's number two. Or that there be days of pestilence in thy land. So it's either pestilence, or he'll be taught a lesson by his enemies 3 months, or there'll be famine. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel, and from the morning to the time appointed, they died of the people from Dan unto Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now in thy hand. The angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and be against my father's house. And God came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here is an oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of oxen for the wood. And all these things did Araunah as a king gave unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. David is someone that understands priesthood. So much about David as a king is known, but so little about David as a disciple of Samuel the prophet is known. And Samuel took time to train David in prophetic things and priestly things. And in the education that he gave David, he made David understand that you do not offer unto the Lord that which costs you what? Nothing. The reason is because in the realm of the immortals, they only understand the language of sacrifice. I'm going to show you a lot of scriptures so that you will see that the very metaphor altar is talking sacrifice. I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. Your prayer can be convenient. It's not sacrifice. I know it's so difficult for you to wake up in the night and pray when it is contrary to convenience. It is sustaining a very high rating in terms of the shekels of the sanctuary. You want to live normally without having to sacrifice, your life will be normal. But just in case you want to make a mark and you want to move the hand of God, then the way is going to be by sacrifice. David himself, in his own prophetic capacity, was able to see where the angel stopped in his judgment activity. He saw that the angel had stopped at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. It therefore means that there was something that Araunah knew, that Araunah was operating in, that was responsible for that stop. But the stop will not last forever. Something has to be done in order to make that stop to become permanent. David saw that he had stopped. And the prophet came and then he built further and said, okay, now you need to go and set up a sacrifice. If there was another way, David would have known. The prophet came with intelligence and came with wisdom. Even though Araunah was insisting that David should take what he wants and offer a sacrifice, David knew it will have no value in the spirit realm if it doesn't cost anything. I was studying my Bible today and I looked at the book of Leviticus chapter 27. And that's the last book, chapter of Leviticus before you enter into Numbers. And the idea of the book of Numbers was to check the population of Israel to see how many of them were competent for war. And so in the book of Leviticus chapter 27, we have a scale of vows. Just in case someone vows a girl that is the age of 12 and say, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to give you this, my daughter. Moses came up with wisdom from the law. Are you with me? And the wisdom that Moses came up with was the equivalent of that girl that is 12 years old in the currency called the shekels of the sanctuary.
That shekel of the sanctuary is different from the normal shekel that is used in the mundane market of Israel. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. The shekel of a sanctuary is a currency that is used only in the temple area. So just in case you want to do something around the temple and what you want to do requires a sacrifice and the lamb is there, you bring your mundane shekel and then you go to the table of the money changers. The table of the money changers is where forex takes place. You give the guys on the table your own mundane shekel. They will give you the equivalent for that day in exchange for the shekel of the sanctuary. It is the shekel of the sanctuary that you can use to buy the items that you need for the spiritual thing that you came to do. Are you with me? Now, unfortunately, in the days of Jesus, the business of forex now superseded the original purpose for which the temple was set up. So Jesus had a challenge with that generation and said that the original purpose for which my house was set up was so that it can be a house of what? But now what you are doing is trading forex and making margins. So the real business of the temple was no longer in view. It was the margins that could be made through the exchange that was the matter. I'm just bringing perspective, but don't get lost on what I'm trying to say. So you come to that table, you do the exchange, get the shekels of the sanctuary. That is what you trade with in the temple. In the book of Leviticus chapter 27, we are given a very wonderful opportunity for us to see value, the value of individuals from the perspective of the temple. Exactly. That's the closest we can get in terms of understanding value that was set up by God's intelligence himself. Can we do that? I said, can we try it? Okay, so let's go to the book of Leviticus 27. If you are there, say amen. It's a very technical reading. Are you ready for it? As we read it, please don't get lost in the reading. There is a permutation I want to do after the reading so that you can see the value of things. All right? The value that something sustains from the perspective of the sanctuary, from the perspective of the eye view of God by his own currency that is applicable in the sanctuary. Then you will find out that everything has a value. I will use that to ask you some questions about your life. If your life, what your life will weigh if we put it on the lens, the scale of the sanctuary and value it according to the shekels of the sanctuary. What will your life weigh? What is the weight of it in the eyes of God? Leviticus chapter 27, beginning from verse 1. Now, in order for us to fully capture what I want to read, we are going to draw up a table. The table is going to have 4 columns. 6 rows. 4 columns and 6 rows. As we read, we'll be filling it up. As we read, we'll be filling it up. And what we are attempting to do, and the reason for which we are doing all of this, is to see the value that things have from the perspective of God. Exactly. That's the scripture that goes closest to showing us value. So as you are praying, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, there's a value for it. That which you are doing is converted into value in a certain form that immortals can understand. So David, when we are true, you will see that David was adequately taught, and he knew that if he offers something to God that costs him nothing, it will have no value in the sanctuary. No value in the sanctuary. You want to strike a chord with heaven? You want to move the hand of God? You want to do something that God will remember forever? Then you must understand priesthood. You must understand value from God's perspective. All right, let's do Leviticus 27, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. The estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old,
even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. Did you get that? Let's write that on the chart. So we are talking about a category. So the first column you write years. Second column you write persons. Third column you write amount. Are you there? So what you have on the first row is 20 years to 60 years. According to that reading, if it is male, it is 50 shekels. If it is female, it is 30 shekels. Did you get that? All right. I said, did you get that? Don't say yes if you didn't get it. If you don't understand it, I will do it again. Is that clear? All right. Let's go. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels and for the female 10 shekels. All right, so we have another category from 5 years old to 20 years old. If it is male, it is what? 20 shekels. If it is female, it is what? 10 shekels. You get it? All right. And if it be from a month old unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels. So we have another category now. We have 0 to 5, male 5 shekels, female 3 shekels. So if you got the chart right, then under years you will have 20 to 60 male. Under persons you have male, female. Under amount in the shekels of the sanctuary, you will have 50, 30. Is that what you have on your list? If your chart is right, under 5 to 20, the next column, persons, male, will be 20 shekels, female will be 10 shekels. If your chart is right, under 0 to 5, male, you will have 5 shekels, and female, you will have 3 shekels. This list came from Moses. This list was a function of the gift of word of wisdom. The person that came and made the vow, I hope you know what a vow is. A vow is a commitment. A vow is a platform for transaction. Oh, you're not with me. This person is trying to move the hand of God. That's why he's even vowing in the first place. He wants to commit God to something. He wants to make God to do something. And then he now comes and says, all right, if you do this, your prize will be my daughter. And then Moses now came and said that there is a certain value according to the shekels of the sanctuary that will be equivalent to your daughter. So giving us an opportunity to be able to value people, find a measurement for the value of people from God's perspective. Exactly. Good. Because God will not accept human sacrifice. So Moses went to heaven and got wisdom. Okay, if it is this age, meanwhile, what determines the value of the category? Because if I get 1,000 naira from you, and I get 200 naira from you, and I get 100 naira from you, they are of the same size. And in terms of cost, it will cost the same to produce 1,000, it will cost the same to produce 200, it will cost the same to produce 100. So, what allocates the value? In our own case, it is CBN that determines 1,000, 200, 100, as the case may be, even though in terms of cost of production, it's the same cost. You get it? But in the case of this chart, what determines the value is how relevant will the person be in a battle? Because the next book is a book of numbers, and the purpose of numbers is to number the people to see which category of people are competent, which set of people will be liabilities in a battle. Exactly. So that's what allocates value. Oh my. I've lost you. I'm trying very hard. And the reason why I'm trying is so that you could see something from God's realm, a measurement by which we can measure some things. Alright? So, for instance, if you are male,
Sorry. Sister, you with green. Can you stand up? What's your name? Ebube. I will never ask you this question in all your life again. How old are you? Ebube is 28. Can you find Ebube in that scale? Please sit down. What's the value according to the shekels of the sanctuary? What? 30. Okay. You got me. In the New Testament, because we need to compromise this chart with New Testament realities. When we go to the New Testament, you are going to find out that your value before God is not a function of whether you are male or female. So that column that dichotomizes sex is expunged from the list. Okay? Jesus paid the same price for male and female, and in the eyes of the kingdom, it has the same value. So we can't follow that dichotomy. Let us see how the chart looks like when we go back to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12. The chart becomes, instead of four columns, it has three. Say, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Are you with me? Do you see the reason why these people are capable of bringing God shame, these people? So that God can maintain a good name, he will forgive their sin. He said their sins are forgiven. Why? You are not following me. Because I mentioned sin now, the morale of the house has gone down. For information, you cannot not have a stand against sin and be a priest. He says, I write unto you children. And the reason why they were called children is because their sins are forgiven because of his integrity, because of his name. So if God doesn't want his name to get soiled, what he will do is I will forgive them. This is the idea of a consumer. He is living off resources in God. He's not productive in any sense. He's taking advantage of what exists in God. And he decides to remain a consumer. That's five shekels. Such a person doesn't have weight. Such a person, can you think of how many five nairas will gather to make 1 billion? So you can have a crowd of people that have 9 million people on the field, and their prayers cannot shift the principalities of the territory because they are five shekel people. Somebody's offended, so I think I will stop this. I don't know about you, but when I travel around, my burden is that the average Christian is weightless. Even if our number increases, it will not change anything. So a lot of people believe that because we have number, maybe on a camp, we are 2 million. We say, Jesus has come. From the perspective of the shekels of the sanctuary, if you gather, it is 5 naira, 5 naira, 5 naira, 5 naira, and he can't pay school fees. If you gather all the shekels, he can't pay school fees. He can't sponsor anything in the spirit. It may be that your sacrifices and your prayers are on the 5 shekel level. Even if you do it for 9 hours, the people that are still sick, their sickness might even intensify. This chart gives us a little idea of seeing from God's perspective and how God allocates value. I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Next verse. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, children, again, because you have known the Father. The revelation that the child has is a revelation of God as Father, where God takes all the responsibility. He doesn't see any responsibility as part of his Christian life. He throws his weight on the benevolence of his father. His faith is anchored upon the fact that his father takes responsibility and his father is a father of fidelity. Are you still with me? So he remains there. But the young man has come to a point where through education that has come by the word of the Lord, he begins to understand that in the kingdom he has rights. And when the devil wants to enter into his space and to compromise his territorial integrity, he uses the instrument of the word of God and he overcomes the wicked one. It means in the life of him that has become a young man, Satan cannot perpetually have his way. This guy has more weight in the spirit. Can you see that? Oh, you can see that. All right. I run away since you can see. Why is the father considered to be someone of great rank? And the attribute of the father is not that he conquered everywhere. The attribute of the father is that he knows the one who is from what? The beginning. You see, the thing about the father is that, I hope you know, God already settled his eternal purpose in himself before he began to create. That was part of the gist that God was giving Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. So Jeremiah existed as a seed of eternity before he was formed in his mother's womb. The thing about the fathers is that they have access through their intimacy with God to stumble upon his heart and to see the things that were ordained from the beginning. You see, I think I need to read Ephesians chapter 1 to us. And to show us how that what the eternal purpose reaches into the past before it reaches into the future. It reaches first into the heart of God. What was conceived in the heart of God before implementation began. And in the heart of God, it was already concluded. It was already settled. Before implementation began. See, the scope of faith that a man that knows what was registered on the heart of God in the beginning will function in is much higher than one that doesn't have insight into that context. So because of his insight into what is on the heart of God, he can steward the move of God upon the face of the earth. In fact, God can't even allow the devil to go close to that one because he knows what the kingdom of God will lose if such men of that stature and insight no longer exist. I'm just showing you a way of rating things which is from the perspective of God. And that's how everything that we bring to God is rated. And value is attached to it. And maybe that's why the prayer you have been praying, because it's 5 shekel prayer, you are adding it. Before you can knock off an installation, you will need to pray it for like 7 years. If only you can upgrade and go deeper in the things of God, you will realize that God makes a demand on your life. A demand for, I don't want to mention it casually. I want to show you from the scripture. There's a demand God is making. So I need to show you the first demand that must be met in order for your value, the things that issue from your life, to strike heavy molecules in the realms of God. I have made up my mind that my Christian life will count. As I study the scriptures, I find Abraham happens to be an authority in the matter of altars. It's an authority. And the first altar that Abraham built is what I want us to begin our talk about altars from. Just trying to make us understand that anything we do, and we are hoping to get a response from God's realm, the response will come according to God's value system of that which you do. Okay?
All right. Genesis 12. I will do this, then I'll round up. Meanwhile, this altar matter will take like 1 month or thereabout, or maybe more, to address this matter. If we study the life of Abraham, you will find out that Abraham built altars and he pitched tents. The tents were temporal, the altars were permanent. If Abraham moves from one place, because he will just fold his tent, but he leaves the altar behind. And the altar becomes part of the signature of the territory. If you were to follow the navigation graph of Abraham's movement, you will see his path littered with altars. Those were territories that he conquered through priesthood. And in my study of Abraham's life and the life of the tent and the altar, which is a description of the priesthood and the living of Abraham, you will find out that each altar that Abraham raised had a significant meaning. They were not just the same. Are you with me? You are not with me. Anytime you are not with me, I will cut the revelation. So that maybe when you travel in the wilderness for another 2 years, if you come back and we say, are you ready now? You'll be willing. Every altar that Abraham raised had a specific significance. So we need to take an inventory of all the altars Abraham raised, the significance of each altar, then you will see how the life of the tent and the altar is supposed to be. And Abraham is an example of that kind of living. Whereas Abraham pitched tents and built altars, we built tents and pitch altars. What is permanent in your life is your house. What is temporary is your altar. But I pray God will help us quickly. In Jesus' name. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, I will stop at this point. Verse 7, I stop. Because that's the altar that is of interest. The first one. If you don't raise this altar, any other altar you raise is going to be wrong. And I'm going to explain why. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham passed through the land unto the place Shechem, the place of Shechem, and unto the plain of Moreh. We'll forget about that verse for now. And the Canaanites was then in the land. Let's leave that verse. We'll use it some other day. My emphasis is verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord that appeared to him. See, notice it was the Lord that appeared to him. He built this altar unto. So, the first thing we need to investigate today is the name of this altar. Where is the place of this altar in your Christian life? Now we have understood that the language of altar is sacrifice. And David had told us by spiritual intelligence that he will not offer unto God anything that cost him what? Nothing.
So if we have come to that place where we understand that God understands the language of sacrifice, various aspects of our lives are implicated by this new way of doing things. Various aspects. But I want us to start with this first one. As Abraham began to attempt to obey God, and he moved from Haran, and the intention was to move from Haran into the promised land, even the land of Canaan. When he arrived there, he built an altar to God. No, God appeared to him first. And it was the God that appeared to him that he built that altar to. Now, are you here? Why did God appear to him? God has spoken to him. You check in the book of Genesis chapter 12. He said, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out from thy kindred. Get thee out from thy father's house. God had said it. I don't have time to take you to the book of Genesis 11, where you will see how that he told his father about this trip. The father felt he was mad. So the father now said, okay, they are going to travel. And the father was the one leading the journey. He said, Abraham was the one that God called. The father was the one that led them from all of the Chaldees. The father was the one that constituted the people to travel. I don't have time for that. It was the father that included Lot in the equation. Because his father had died. So, okay, let the family be moving to Uganda. But that was not obedience to what God had said. I don't have time for that. And then he took them as far as Haran and then settled in Haran. And the meaning of Haran is delay. From biblical perspective and Bible history, Abraham was called at the age of 25. He spent 50 years in Haran. That is what? 75. God had to kill his father because it was an obstacle in his way. And then verse chapter 12, God was now giving us a recap. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Now Abraham was now going to constitute the party that would journey with him. It was now Abraham that added Lot by himself. This time, this second journey, he constituted the journey party contrary to what God instructed. God didn't say anything. And even though he had not obeyed God the way God requested that he obeyed him, God still appeared to him when he came to the land just to give him an insight of the policy direction that he intends to implement in his life. He recalled the things that he said unto him in 12 verse 1 to 3. I will make thee a great nation. The guy was living in disobedience, but God still appeared to him. At least you have come to Canaan. You have come. So, because you even moved at all, he appeared to him. So I will make you a great nation. I will make thy name great. I will make you a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. The moment God came with that refresher encounter, the Bible says, Abraham raised an altar to God. You know the meaning of that altar? Because I'd say that the language of the altar is what? The first thing Abraham sacrificed was himself. He is an altar of total committer. I am willing, I submit to that which you want to do. Unfortunately, the first thing you need to submit, first sacrifice you need to make, is what the Bible calls the living sacrifice. Can we go to the book of Romans chapter 12 quickly? Let me show you the equivalent of this committer. I am willing for you to do through me what you have said. You've been haunting me for a long time. My father stood in the way. All kinds of things have bedeviled me because of this trip. But alas, I have arrived. I am willing. He raised an altar of total committer to the will of God. Your priesthood is going to be weak if you have not yet responded to God by way of this committer to give God the right, the liberty to be able to manipulate your life, to stop you when you want to resist his will. To give him the right to enter into your space and to have the authority to discipline you just in case you start becoming stubborn. Abraham raised an altar of committal to him. In the book of Romans chapter 12, we see a similar kind of situation here. Actually, it's Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 6. Those are the two scriptures that speak about consecration. Because what Abraham did was that he consecrated himself to God. He said, okay, I am ready to do your will. You've been haunting me for a long time. You've been in my head speaking to me. All kinds of, my world has been rocked. Now I want to submit myself to fulfill what you have in mind. Have you ever been on that altar? Have you been in that place? That place where the one that is your savior, you yield to him and say, you can do what you please with my life. And when you say that, God will mean every word that you utter. Because he knows that weeks after you have made that commitment, you want to take your life back and you will not accept it. That's when the contention will begin. I will show you moments in Abraham's life where he violated his covenant. His journey to Egypt, for instance, was a journey of his own devising. He had to arrange a lie at the border. When you see some people praying and God answers speedily, it is not in what they said. Because the apostles came to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? Everything you said is what we said. What is wrong with our own? It's not about your utterance. There is an altar that Jesus has bowed himself. And he has refused to take himself back from the custody of the one that he submitted to in total committal. You know, your fantastic ideas, your great plans are filthy before God. I was there. I wanted to be a lecturer. You have heard my story many times. Yes, that was my dream. The reason for which I wanted to be a lecturer was to walk into class without notebooks. Because I had an unusual ability to cram. I don't know if I still do. Those days, I could cram stuff and out. So I felt, all right, let me just cram the whole thing and then I just come to class. And I knew I had the mental ability to do that. Put my left hand in the pocket and I give notes. I say, okay, give diagrams, give stuff. I say, wow, the great guy. Do you know, when I went for prayer, Jesus told me, in all the things written about your life, no one captures lecturer. I know, in the journey of life, I'd let so many things go. Nothing was as terrible as leaving, that committer. In fact, God stopped me from doing masters. I had gotten the admission, I'd paid, and I was going to register, and then my peace left me. To prevent you from ending up in the classroom, don't even start the masters in the first place. Committer. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's one scripture that captures this committer that I'm talking about. Another scripture is Romans chapter 6. But there's a little difference between the rendition in Romans 6 and Romans 12. Now, I don't have the time to break it for you. Okay, let me try. Anywhere I stop, I stop. Can we go to Romans 6? This is Romans 12, okay? Romans 6.
Romans chapter 6, beginning from verse number 17. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants of righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Do something for me quickly. Draw a chart. Put Romans chapter 6 here. The broad heading is consecration, but put Romans 6 here, Romans 12 here. I'll show you the difference between what Paul emphasized in Romans chapter 6 and what he emphasized in Romans chapter 12. If you have not yet come to that point of committal, you are 5 shekels. You are a consumer. You are a wolf. Anything you see that is available to take, you take from the kingdom. But your life does not add value to the kingdom. And there is an economy of prayer and prayer answers that you can get on that level. When you begin to go the way of sacrifice, which begins from that consecration, total committal, your weight in transactions in the spirit is increased, because according to the shekels of the sanctuary, your value has appreciated. The other day, some people gave me some dollars, and I went to Abuja and we sold them, got naira. And then in the evening, my friend came to me and said, "Oh my God, you sold those dollars at the wrong time. Naira has fallen." Just like currencies lose value, many people depreciate before God. Well, the Lord will help us. Can you come to your chart? Number one, Romans chapter 6 on this side, Romans chapter 12 on this side. According to Romans chapter 6 verse 19, the purpose of consecration is, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you yielded your members to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants of righteousness unto holiness. According to Romans chapter 6 verse 19, the first result of consecration is that it opens up the gate for you to live a holy life. We cannot talk about holy living without that committer. And part of the credentials of a priest that makes his priesthood potent happens to be holiness. When you submit in such a way that Jesus becomes your king, he can dictate what your life will be about. Then you know experientially what it means for you to be separated and to live unto him for all the days of your life. I know what it means to be separated unto him. From the moment where I died to lecturing, that was the biggest blow of sacrifice that had to come on the altar. As I began to die to lecturing, that was how I began to receive the grace as a steward of the word of God. Now I understand better that it was God's intention for me to be a lecturer in scripture, not in the classroom. And that somehow my lecturing in the classroom is going to obstruct this, my purpose in him. And there was no way I could find my purpose in him until I was ready to let go that ambition that I had on my heart. He said, when you have decided to respond to this committer, then the fruit that your submission to him will begin to bear is a fruit of holiness. Oh,
We need to ask ourselves a question. What is holiness? I want your definition. Help me. What is holiness? Because a custom made answer you want to give me now is separation unto God. I know that's what you want to say. What does it mean? You know what it means? There are many operating systems that can run your life. One is sin. Another one is self. Another one is flesh. Another one is Satan. Another one is the world. Another one is mammon. If any of this is a driving force of your life will be used to adorn the kingdom of darkness. But when we say that a man is separated unto God, it means that he has decided that Satan will not run him as a computer. Sin will not run him. His self-ambition, like I had, my self-ambition was to be a lecturer so that everybody will know I'm an intelligent man. And that can be the motivation that will drive a man's life all the way. And he has no value in the shekels of the sanctuary. Nothing else will operate me. Only the will of God. Romans 12. According to Romans 12, the emphasis is more of God's will finding a place to latch onto your soul. Romans chapter 6 says the only way we can live a separated life, a life that can afford us the opportunity of being saturated by God so that we are instruments in the hands of God, is consecration. In Romans chapter 12, it says the only way we can become obsessed with one thing and one thing only, which is the will of God, is consecration. For in Romans 12, what is in view after consecration is the will of God. For I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can now enter into what? The will of God. It was when I let go that my ambition that I now realize that the reason for which God gave me any endowment whatsoever was not what I think it was given to me for. I found out that I was supposed to be a custodian of the counsel of God. And the moment I found out, I gave myself to the scriptures. He had plugged in the resources into that which he wanted to use it for. In Romans chapter 6, he said, now that we are made free from sin, we become slaves of righteousness. I don't have time to show you the difference between the law of sin and the law of death. How that concerning sin, we were slaves. And because sin was spiritual, it was stronger than your will. So when you do your New Year resolution, it doesn't affect sin. For 2 weeks, you can use your will not to smoke. But when you resume, you smoke back. Because it's stronger than your will. It says, when you therefore commit yourself on that altar that Abraham raised, he said, what is in view for you is the life of righteousness. And the same way you were a slave to sin, you become a slave to righteousness. A time will come as you walk with God when you are tempted with the things that used to be your weakness before. That's when you will know how far God had walked. Because you couldn't even get yourself to decide to sin. You have become a slave. A slave to righteousness. A slave. Romans chapter 12. It says when you have now submitted, verse 12. Verse 2, when you have now submitted in this divine committal, that's when you will know what the will of God for you is. A lot of people send me messages on Facebook Messenger. I want to know the purpose of God for my life. If you want to do according to the prescription in Romans chapter 12, you need to respond to the committal. When you sell out, then your eyes we see that which he apprehended you to perform. If you walk in that will, the peace and the joy that will bring ventilation to your soul will make you know that there's no other life you would have lived. That this is the original copy of God's intention for my life. I will not trade it for anything. Romans chapter 6. The goal is personal sanctification. Where you are separated from this age so that you can be saturated by God. Because if God must move in the earth, he must have a vessel to possess. You become his house, his instrument. What he possesses to accomplish his program upon the face of the earth. Romans chapter 12, the goal is so that we can do the work of God, not your work. So the first altar that we must build is the altar of total committal to God. So my life, oh God, I'll take Africa for you. Take my life. Take my life, oh God. I'll take Nigeria for you. Take my life. Take my life. Oh God, I'll take Africa for you. Many months after my committal, one of our lecturers in Benue State University got another job, became deputy VC in one campus, and he came back and asked them to look for me so that I can assist him and become a lecturer. But before he got that employment for which he needed an assistant, God had dealt with me. And I knew that that was not my part. Because when you submit to this committer, your rating in the shekels of the sanctuary will increase. It is after you have raised this altar that you can understand the others. The others. And the others. Meanwhile, understand that the altar itself is a metaphor for sacrifice. So the sacrifice continues. Let me read the scripture to you quickly, then we'll pray. No need to read it, I'm already out of time. David had been running from Saul for 12 years. And all the people that were discontented, people that were tired of life, came and joined themselves to him. The rallying point was a cave at Dula. It takes 5 years to train a legionnaire, just in case you are a total novice, and to train you to know how to use the sword and the shield, to take 5 years. But David was running for 12 years. And the guys that he was training for battle, they were overdue for physical combat. And David did not approve any opportunity for them to test their skills. They were passing through Bethlehem, which was his village. And he cried and said, "Oh, that one might give me drink from the wells of Bethlehem." Three of the champions that he had raised took his longing to be a command because they wanted to test themselves. They've been training for 12 years. And the Bible says that those guys broke through the garrison of the Philistines. Now, a garrison is like a legion. It's a military terminology for 2,000 to 12,000 soldiers. Three men break through the garrison of the Philistines. One of them has to go to the well to draw the water. Only two such men were there to defend him. They successfully did that. He drew the water out. If he's going to still have some water left by the time he reaches David, he's out of battle. Those guys shielded him and they brought the water to David. And David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it as a libation unto God. And he said, he made a statement. He said, is this not the blood of the men that jeopardized their life? He knew that if sacrifice was involved, his currency for the great monarch of Zion. So the question tonight is, what is your life worth? According to the shekels of the sanctuary. Can you bow your head briefly? If you are in this auditorium tonight and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to respond to him tonight, you are acknowledging that you have been a rebel, a sinner. And this moment, you want to turn your heart to him. Where you are sitting, I'd like you to stand up on your seat. I want to give my life to Jesus. Stand up on your seat. Forget about your neighbor, the person by your side. Forget about the person you came with, your wife. You want to give your life to Christ? Stand up on your seat. It's a moment. It's a moment of concentration. It's a moment between you and God. Stand up on your seat. I want to give my life to Christ. I'm still waiting for some other people to join. Stand up on your feet. And for those of you that are participating online, you want to turn your life over to him, just follow us as we go on in the service. If you are standing on your feet, can you make your way to the pulpit quickly? Because I want to lead you to speak with Jesus right now. I take Kenya for you. Spend my life. Spend my life. Oh God. I take Africa. Take my life, oh God. I take Lokoja for you. Take my life. Take my life, oh God. I take Suleja. Spend my life. Spend my life. Oh God. I take Nigeria for you. I'm still waiting for you. Oh, 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 oh. I take Africa. Those of you kneeling here, begin to talk to him. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I've been walking in rebellion. I've been walking in darkness. Have mercy on me. Can you address him? Address the king. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Can you repent before him? Repent of outright rebellions, things that you did, never considering who created you. Be running the show of your life as a captain. Today you want to say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Ask him to wash you with his blood.
to cleanse you from every sin. Ask him to write your name in the book of life. Write my name. Tell him. Say to him, every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, I renounce it. Let his power over my soul be broken. Ask him to give you the grace to live for you, him, all the days of your life. All the days of your life. That no other day will you live for Satan. You want to live for him from this day henceforth. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Please stand on your feet. Now, see that pastor with the striped suit. Can you follow him for 2 minutes? He will speak with you, and then you can come back for the miracle service. We are switching over to them. Can you celebrate them with a clap offering? Continue the teaching tomorrow, okay? Continue the teaching until you understand everything about altars. The first thing is you need to be a sacrifice first. There are 2 things that you must know about consecration. First of all, it is a product of an acknowledgement of the fact that God paid for you through the price of his son. There's a payment aspect of it. And because God paid by blood is an indication of his love. Are you there? Having understood this, there's a second step to consecration. Now that you know that he paid, you willingly now offer yourself to be governed by him. Just like you know the day you give your life to Christ, you also should know the day the authority over your life passes from your hand and passes to God. He will begin to govern you. When you want to take your own decision, the Spirit will register his displeasure. And you know what it means. It will remind you of the fact that I'm no more in charge. You want to slap, then Holy Ghost will just say, that hand is not yours anymore. You will now clap in. Your old boyfriend will come to town in the night and send you a text. And then he will snap $1 bill and forward. Meanwhile, your life is hard. That decision rules. A government enters into your space just because you did that consciously. It rules. You are ready to let go what you would have enjoyed, the dollars you would have had, just because there was a day in your life when you asked Jesus to rule. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking of government. You will be the one that decides what obtains in my life. That's the life we have lived. It's the most blessed life upon the face of the earth. Oh, you want your prayers powerful? Start from there. And we're going to show you other altars that Abraham raised. You will raise all of them. It's a long journey, but I'm willing for us to make the trip if you are willing to go on. All right, rise up. We'll pray for miracles now. I'll take Africa for you. Can you join me? This is my song. It's a song of consecration. Take my life. Take my life. Oh God. I'll take Africa for you. Spend my life. Spend my life. Oh God. Nigeria. I'll take Nigeria for you. Take my life. Take my life. Take my life.
Abuja. Before I pray for the sick, God is going to do miracles here because he's a God of power. Not necessarily because there's a great preacher that is preaching tonight. Hallelujah. First of all, I would like you to factor your family before God. I say, Lord, can you send an intervention on my family? Can you stretch forth your hand? Can you stretch forth your hand? It's a new year. Let the old demons be cast out. Let the old afflictions, the old patterns be dealt with. Be dealt with tonight.
Raminala, Popreskumbe laikos kabatua, Yamo seco presco falante la burra masekilete, Obresquito mahalaito combe la maskila mamarantos, Yeko semina kusa barata bote sima la teli. Rando socobria la babosa vila, resca peluske, iana noske procombe la masketa varanasi, las cobre de tela sima salato, diamba rata baboke na askiminaila, respo feliz, ababababatua, remina combe la scanta baboria, shama capresketo pocobocoria. Arama sekilatwa, raskambelato kombelata bo, raskayato siko pre, rambo kombela saite, yata taboko tabakata barata, rapa sabakompade, akaito kope sabakatelia, etapastanda babota tabenai, akrakatala babonde, raka sepena, Raka balatuske ta blanta babonia, apali na soma, yeti akopres kapo, rata baboko ta bakada baha, esko pina, esko mantani, esko pregete, esko bakuda mantata, esko priamo, akabo sama, akata mantalia, ekose mantalia, ekote bakatalia, aprande kobo koto bokola, Rasima Kaila Baboro Siko Brantene Alamo Selia Ruka Petakumbe La Minala Ah Kabo Siakeli Rakata Baboko Tobina Kade Latre Seketa Tabo Taba Rakaba Samina Brote Aguata Rescompa Tuka Apala masote bregede, alata tata masata, rakatala, 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 aita masa kabo sama, rakababa bote bele kadia. Oh, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Madness in a certain family. There's this history of madness. From what I can see, not less than two people have manifested those symptoms, and one member of that family is here today, and God is going to cross madness from that bloodline. He's going to cross it tonight. Second prayer point. Can you pray for yourself? Are there things you are trusting God for, you are believing God for? It has delayed. You can ask again. You asked before, but I challenge you to ask again. 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 Milabo seco brisco fatil. Bracatua zeminai tata. Mabrascata bocota mena cubresque felisco brande. Cuvazaza heco patua. Escopresa barra capa tande zumina. Raita cobesqueto compre. Yama malatacusca. Yatosa mina. Raita cobelatosque. Racabanta babuleca ticos cabalaita. Yemba rata. Combasketialo sabaratua. Brasketomba iko patakumo. Laitoscope lekete. Yato sonda la baboria. Baka manseti. Raita kuva latua. Yatake bakonde. Ramos sakatala. Ambros kadi. Leti atua tande. Rakaboko tomina keda batua. Prescova lambo rako. Yada domokoske. Landere de babobo saka. Landere de babobo sika. Rata babonde zamina braita. Kope lamina kura basate. Ruma seli kapri. Ala la 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 la. Jama mama 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 mama. Kuria sate branta babolea. Akabala babakota brante. Yata tona basata branta babobata. Rakabala da 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 babo. Rakabala basata ba. Rakamaseli. Rakamakola balatwa. In the name of Jesus. See where I'm touching here. There's someone in this congregation, this place that I'm touching. You've been having a pain, consistent pain on this spot. If you are the one, let me see you. Now you don't need to come out. You don't need. You are going to be healed. I will tell you what to do to be healed. Can you just touch the place? I'll take Africa for you. Spend my life. Spend my life. Oh God. I'll take Nigeria for you. Take my life. Take my life, oh God. Oh, I take Lokoja for you. Now listen, don't take your hands away. Don't take your hands away. Follow my instructions. Ah, I'm seeing strange afflictions. Now listen, if you are deaf, maybe one of your ears has lost hearing and you want to hear, you take this finger, you put it in the ear that cannot hear. Block it. Your eyes, you have eyesight problems and you need to use glasses to see far, to drive, to read. You can remove the glasses from your eyes. Lay your hands on your eyes now. You came with a crippled person that cannot walk. Thou crippled person, put your hands on the legs that have lost strength. Put your hands on those legs. If you have someone that is sick and you could not bring the person here, you have liberty. The next 2 minutes, take your phone, call the person. Leave the phone running. I'm going to pray through the phone and we'll send healing their way. Oh my God. Oh, has your organ, one of your organs begin to fail? Touch the place where the organ is. God is most disposed this evening to give you a new one. To give you a new one. To give you a new one. So you can call that sick person. When you call the person, leave the phone running. If I say in the name of Jesus, say amen. Let's try it. In the name of Jesus. I see someone in the congregation. You've had this experience not less than 3 times. In your dreams, you see an old woman that comes to threaten you. It has happened not less than 3 times. Old woman. If you are the one I'm talking about, it's an emergency and I need to break that yoke now. An old woman. Yeah, you can come. Quickly. You see, if you say amen loud, it will help me to see someone's problem. It will help me see. Can we do that again? In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody, I don't know, you submitted a document. The document was supposed to receive some attention in the office, but you got news that your file cannot be found. You got news that your file is not where it's supposed to be. Where are you? Join them. You got that news. I'll take Africa for you. Can we do that again in the name of Jesus? What was meant for you was conveniently given to someone else. Meanwhile, you are the one that qualified, the one that it was prepared for, but it was conveniently given to someone else. Where are you? It was passed on to someone else. Yes, join them. When we finish praying, that which is yours will be restored. Take Africa for you. Can we do it for the last time in the name of Jesus? Someone in the auditorium here, whenever you close your eyes to sleep in the night, you are exposed to a new world. A world where all kinds of spirits begin to attack you. Your night moments are moments of terrible nightmares and afflictions. Sometimes it can become so intense that you don't even want to go to sleep. There is a wizard contending with you, and today we are going to take authority over that wizard. Alright, so if you are in the congregation, can you stretch your hand in that direction and begin to pray and to resist the enemy? Some of you standing or kneeling here, the hand of God will come on you. It will come on you powerfully. Some of you are carrying yokes and curses that were spoken over your life. Can you pray for them? Can you pray? I can't hear your voice. Can you pray? Can you pray?
Macabres, Uramosa, Icamantelima, Roqueta Bosa, Icobres, Cofilaminata. Yata Cabose, Tetemina Cadebahila, Iso Salamonda. Oh, my God. Iteline, Covli, Cababosa, Mala, Icobraski. Felaminata compelli sopre covela sir ratos capelama coraisa covela minaila ito menekede de bobocola thank you Lord thank you Father in the name of Jesus now listen. Listen, one of you here has an emergency. You are actually currently in contention with a powerful person. But I believe God brought you here so that He can help you. As I speak, I don't even know who the person is, but the Holy Spirit knows. So the Holy Ghost, yeah, He normally helps us. Can you bring that young man? Let me help him. Still another one that is an emergency before we begin to do general prayers. Oh, so you are free now, bro. The hand of God will come upon the person I speak about, and his hand will come strong. Then we'll begin to minister to you, Father. That one whose case. It's an emergency. Can you help us? Stretch your hand. Okay, it's already coming. Stretch your hand and touch that individual. Whether the person is kneeling or standing, let the intensity of your power descend upon that life. Let the intensity of your power descend. Let the intensity of your power descend upon that life. Let the intensity of your power descend upon that life. Let the intensity of your power descend upon that life. Let the intensity of your power. Ushers, bring that lady. Bring that lady for me. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I don't have time. I'm out of time. Where is the usher here? Take this. Oh, these front lines, touch them. Touch them. Just everybody in front, yeah? Touch them. Touch them. Keep touching. Keep touching. And I command the yoke of darkness loose. Touch again. One I'm looking for is in the front. You are not seeing. You are not alive. You are not alive. Put it on that lady and hold it. Yes. Hold it there.
Hold it there. You are not alive.
Loose.
The name of Jesus.
Loose.
The name of Jesus. Ushers, bring that lady for me. Father, everyone here whose case is an emergency, haunted by warfare, marginalized by terrible transactions, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the yoke, I break the yoke, I break the yoke, I break the yoke, in the name of Jesus. Lose her. Can you ask God to make you sensitive? Pastor Tony, lay hands on them, let them go back. Come up. All right, so put your hand there. Let's pray quickly. Ooh. Ooh.
Loose them in the name of Jesus. I say, loose them, loose them, loose them, loose them in Jesus' name. Hey, okay, there's a chain that is upon one lady, and that chain will break now. I'm seeing the hand of God stretch forth. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fight! Break in the name of Jesus. Bring her for me. Oh, I command that luggage you've been carrying. Loose. Loose. In the name of Jesus. Those people that had that pain here, check for it now. If it has gone, you wave to me, okay? All right. There are issues that we cannot say from the mic. So put your hand there. Put your hand there quickly. If it's deafness, hey, call that lady. I'm seeing, yes, I'm seeing what has, like a padlock. Climb up. Climb up. Like a padlock. Your life is locked. It's your hand there. It's your hand there. On your eyes, on anywhere the pain is. If it's fibroid, put your hand there. And I'm going to pray now. Lord, let this padlock be broken. Go. The things that have delayed in your life, that will happen now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. I say in the name of Jesus. I command every yoke, every spirit of infirmity, every pain, mental conditions that cannot be diagnosed by doctors, paralysis of all types, all kinds, symptoms that people are ashamed to mention, I take authority over the power of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the yoke of the enemy to break in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Deafening spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Come out of their ears in the name of Jesus. Blinding spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. Come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus. Whoa! I'm seeing someone with a stomach condition. I command that pain. Jump out in the name of Jesus. Someone was poisoned here. You were poisoned. You realized it. You have tried all you can to be free from its effect. But there's still a pain that you are carrying on your body. You were poisoned. You know it. But it has gone down. But there's a pain you are carrying. Where are you? You were poisoned. You were poisoned. Where are you? Can you come? The Lord said I should remove the pain. Come, step on my stage. Step on my stage. I take Africa for you. So, what happened to you?
I mushed poison and the pain has gone, but the swelling has gone. The scars also is going down, but the pain, each time I press it, I feel the pain.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I put an end to this affliction. And I command the wounds and all the things that follow it. Die. Die. Now, if you want me to throw it back to the person that gave you, I can do it now. I'm seeing it. Or you want us to leave them to God? Okay, let's leave them. Alright. You are released. He said we should leave. Ah, Jesus. Ah. Where? Come, all of you come. See, you, what happened to you?
The poison.
Somebody is healed. I'm seeing something from your waist has been taken away. Try your waist out. You will notice the pain you came with is no more. Where are you? Try your waist out. Try it now. Okay.
Uh-huh. My two legs were rotten. I knew I was poisoned, but since the Lord healed me, I noticed from my knee down, I'm always having serious pain, and my knees will still be making noise.
All right. No. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the yoke of the poison on your daughter. Let his power break from upon her life in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, let his power be taken from you. Let his power be taken from your life. Let his power be taken from your life. Let his power be taken from your life. And I ask, O Lord, make her completely whole. Completely whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Three of you are released. Now listen. There's somebody with an unusual condition. What I see is that you have pain on your gums. Pain. Your gums, pain on your gums. Can we see that individual? You have pain. You normally have pain. It's terrible. You have pain on your gums. Gums, yeah, come. God will take it away now. Oh my. God will take it away now. He will take it away. We'll take it away now. Yes, can you explain your condition?
My gum, the both side, they keep swelling. I've been operated upon, but it's still coming back.
In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of darkness, let her go. Let her go, let her go, let her go, let her go. Jump out of her gums. Jump out. Yeah, you are here.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Lord, I break the yoke on his gums in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke on his gums in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke on her gums in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke on her gums in the name of Jesus. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Every power of darkness, I take authority over you. Let her go. The name of Jesus. In 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 the name of Jesus. Now I'm beginning to see miracles now are taking place. So you can check your body. Check your ear. Check your sight now. If you notice there's a change, if you notice there's a change, you can wave to me. But I see healing already taking place. Lord, let the yoke be broken. Oh, one of you that came for prayers on your gums, you are already healed. I see that. Wait, I need to know which one. Check your gums. Touch it, touch it. If you notice the pain has left you, show me a sign. Okay, you? All right. Now, check your body. If you notice, oh my God, someone healed on the lungs. There's a lung condition that is healed. Lungs. Lung condition that is healed. Lung condition that is healed. So you can check your body right now. And those of you online, you can also check. If you notice a change, let us know. Notice a change, let us know. Barrister, please help me find out what's wrong with this lady. Help me find out. You notice a change on your body, you can come out. 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 There is a case I mentioned about somebody's waist that has freed up. You can come on. One of the people with the gum issue is healed. Okay? The people that prayed about ear conditions, I can see that somebody's ear has opened. Check your ear. Check your ear. There's a powerful prayer I want to pray. I'll just take, yes, go to him. I will take 4 testimonies and I will pray that prayer. That prayer will keep working till tomorrow. Keep working till tomorrow. Now, maybe Pastor Tony, you need to join him so that we will finish this thing on time. Finish on time. Oh, my God. My God, there's something... There's something I must not miss this night.
Go on, please.
Go. I come close to it and it will escape.
Yes,
yes, give me volume there. In my life, oh God, I'll take Africa for you. Now listen, 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 listen. I don't even know how to start. There is somebody in this auditorium, you've been... You people are wasting time. You're wasting my time.
Yes, sir. These two...
Somebody in this auditorium, you've been hearing a strange voice. This voice has been speaking to you. And the voice normally gives you commands to do things. Come on. Come on, come on. That's what I've been missing. I'll take Africa for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Oga, what happened to you?
Whenever I want to pray, I will be here. It, as if it is, they are stopping me to pray.
In the midnight?
Yes, sir.
All right, so stand here, stand here. The one I'm talking about is more than ew. It gives you...
Okay, what happens to you?
I hear voices that command me to do things. And again, if I want to sleep, immediately I close my eyes like this, I'll be seeing spirits and all of that.
Yeah. I think you are one of the people I'm looking for. You, what's your case?
I normally hear his particular voice. Sometimes prophesying to me. Sometimes if I receive a revelation, then it will come speaking more. So when I sleep, I see several things, spirit and other things.
Well, the Lord will show me who he's talking about. Yes? You, what do you see?
I hear voices that gives me commands, comes like a weight to my heart, and sometimes...
Don't worry. We'll ask God to show us. Yeah, what's your experience?
I hear voices that tell me to do things that I don't want to do.
Yeah? Okay, talk. You see, even now the spirits are agitated. Oh, jeez. Can you help me? Help me. Put your hand here. Pray in tongues now. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Now, you go here and be praying in tongues. Move up, move up. Yeah? Hey, what up?
I hear voices. It gives me instructions. Negative instructions. And it keeps speaking negative.
Yes?
I hear voices like a community, like a kingdom. Like they speak at random intervals.
Yes, what's happening here?
Voice is speaking to her. She does whatever they tell her.
Okay, just hold on. Can you come so that you will not... Come, just come this way. Okay, stay where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one among these people that you were talking about, that someone hears voices that come, influences, trying to manipulate them, to control them. I ask, oh God, the one whose case is most of an emergency, let your hand descend on that one, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. Let that demon be arrested. So you can bring her to me now. Hey, see the spirit. Bring her. In the name of Jesus, go from her. On her forehead. Come close to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put an end to this experience. Bind the spirit that is at work. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the spirits. If I've touched you, you can go. We put an end to this darkness. We bind the foul spirit at work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loose! Okay. Speak in tongues. So, since when did this start? So she's been behaving like this. Can we cast out a spirit, please? Can you stretch your hand? Stretch your hand. Don't worry, mom. Stretch your hand. Forbid the devil from taking over this vessel. Forbid the devil. Okay, Jangfa, come. Go. So that my son. You will attend to her.
I think I need to find look for somebody. The person that I'm talking about, you are here. Holy Spirit, can you help me tonight and help me track this individual? Let your power descend upon this individual so mightily, so that I can know who you are addressing. So the hand of God will come upon you. Help me track the person. Help me track the person. Help me track the person. Holy Spirit, help track the person. In the name of Jesus, utter. Help me. Help me track. Yes? What happened there?
Yes, sir. These brethren, two of them, they came into this room and they were with that tooth-related problem.
Tooth-related
problem. Notable pains. Notable pains. But after the prayers, it left them. The pain left the two of them.
Okay, right, the pain
now,
left them.
Right now, they are free.
Yeah, can you come? Let me touch you. Let me come. Quickly, run up. Run. Pain gone. Is that true? Pain gone. All right. Lord, it is permanent. Yes, it's gone. It's true.
This brother also has a very serious waist pain.
There's a yoke that is jumping out of this, my brother, for which the Lord wanted me to visit with him. There's a yoke. Somebody shot a yoke. Shot something. Yeah. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I send this back to the sender. I send it back to the sender. I send it back to the sender. I send it back in the name of Jesus. There's a yoke. There's a yoke. Oh my. There's war here. There's war this side. Okay, go on.
So he came in here with a very serious waist pain.
Uh-huh.
The pain is gone. This brother equally came in with a nagging chest pain, and you specifically mentioned that case. And right now he's free from that yoke.
Yes, you will sleep this night very well. From the crown of your head, I break the power of that spell. Yeah. We got it now.
Also, this sister came here with a waist pain.
Somebody with waist pain.
She's had it since Friday, but as soon as you mentioned the word, the pain took off.
The pain has left you.
Waist pain blasted out from this brother's waist also.
Thank you, Jesus.
Waist pain, chest pain, waist pain. Sir, you specifically mentioned somebody that had a lung problem.
Yes, a lung
problem. This is a brother, and he is healed.
There's an ear condition also. Can we celebrate the Lord? Okay. There's somebody here. You have been passing through warfare for long. And it's God's will for me to fight with you this night. It's God's will. And as I speak, the hand of God will begin to come upon you. You are here, somewhere here. You are a victim of spiritual warfare. The hand of God will begin to descend upon you. It will come stronger upon you. It will come stronger. The spirit will come stronger. It will come stronger. It will come strong. Now bring that lady for me. Okay. Yes, what happened to
her? Sir, this sister, her own waist pain has lasted 15 years. 15 years.
There's and waist pain for 15 years?
15 years. And the situation had been humbled this night.
The situation had been taken away. Can we celebrate the Lord Jesus? You can talk now.
At first, it started like three spirits. They come, one will tell me he's the Father, one the Son, one the Holy Spirit. They keep coming.
Every foul spirit that visits you will terminate that visitation.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
They keep talking to me until they pray for me, but one certain time it tells me that it goes to my body, it enters my body, and these days it comes frequently.
So what happened to you just now? You couldn't talk. What happened?
I wanted to say the scenario and tell how it used to happen, but there's a blockage on my chest.
There's a blockage. So, but is that blockage still there?
No, it has gone down.
Okay. So, wait, let's find out the source of... Can we check? One of check and find out the source of this affliction. Can we speak in tongues for 2 minutes? 2 minutes, please. 2 minutes. Jesus, you are not the first person that have experienced this in your family. From what I see, you inherited this thing. It's an inheritance. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this ungodly inheritance moving from generation to generation, I stop you. I stop your power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you say for 15 years you had.
So I went to the hospital. I've been taking drugs for years. So recently they asked me to go and run a test. And when I went, they said it's the infection. So I'm on drugs now. Even the fast, I cannot fast. When I heard that testimony, the man said he stopped taking drugs. I said, our faiths are different, our faith are different. But this evening, when you call, you mentioned that case, immediately I was feeling intensive pain on my waist. I was just kneeling down there. People around me would bear witness. But immediately that pain just left. I cannot.
Somebody shout hallelujah. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. This woman is in a war. Before I run away, she's in a war. Can we help her? Now. Let's pray for her. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Ah! If you see what is happening to this woman, you'll pray with more aggression. You will seek intervention from God. You will seek the hand of God to come upon this woman. Oh my God. Oh my God. You will seek a touch. Zaito kobi laite kema. Escovre halato compres. Ika masata babore. Oh my God. Yes, o setia toi. Maratua capeta ico mandere. Seminate. Rocobo ricascheriata. Buca peli composketali. Ianco bacuda matalia. Afarama sacotami. Lescopria la babontema. Oh, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we put an end to this harassment, this attempt to take away your joy and make you dwell in sorrow. I cut it off. And I release you from this yoke. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Go.
So we have an online miracle here.
Online miracle.
All the way from UK.
United Kingdom.
This lady is 14 years now, but right from when she was born, she had this hearing problem.
Hearing
problem.
The doctor
concluded that she will have to live with it for the rest of her life.
Doctors that have names for everything say she will live with this one for life.
But the situation...
God has handled that case. In the United Kingdom, right there.
Yes.
Can you give God glory?
14 years. 14 years here condition. Ear condition.
What?
14 years ear problem.
14 years ear problem. Is that all you have on your platform?
Our brother here has had myopia for about 5 years.
Myopia. What's myopia? You can't see
distant objects.
You can't see this distant object.
And also, he is a medical student, so he understands the miracle that has taken place.
You know, when God heals doctors and medical people, it's a miracle. So you can see me now. You can see. Can you read this stuff on the board? You can read it. What's that?
Prophetic versus size.
Okay. Come up. Please. Don't start down there. Doesn't finish, so let's not yield now. A medical student has been healed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask, make this permanent, make it permanent, make it permanent, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can't you see that lady is not free? Wait, bring her. You can't see that. She's not free. Climb up. This girl is not free now. Jesus, can you help us? Can you help us? Can you break this yoke? Can you help us? Can you help us? Can you help us? Oh my, I contend with this devil. I contend with this devil. And I command you, take your hands off. Take your hands off. Take your hands off. In the name of Jesus. Can we pray one final prayer? Oh my God. Ayakosa barana. Barana masuri. Now, the prayer is simple. Every form of oppression here, let God break it this night. You can't go back with oppression. Can't go back. Oh my God. You can't go back with it. Listen to me, there is someone in the congregation, there is this ungodly itching of your body, ungodly itching that you have been going through. It's a torment from the devil, ungodly itching. Come to me on the platform, because I see something like soldier ants on your body, soldier ants, and it's a very terrible experience, itching. If you are the one, join me here now. Now, we take authority over oppression in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is a lady called Mary. You are a victim of oppression. There are entities that come to make love with you. Where is Mary? Join me on the platform. Mary. So I'm going to close so that you can go. I'll continue with this people. Where is Mary? The Lord wants to remove it. He wants to remove it. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Now, before you leave, there is a spirit of death we need to conquer. We need to conquer one spirit of death. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. That one that the spirit of death is hanging over their family. No, don't pray. Don't, just keep quiet. That person here, that the spirit of death is hanging over their family. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you stretch forth your hand and let your power reveal the member of that family that is present in this hall. Let your power reveal it. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, have you found the person I'm looking for? Find the, bring the person. The spirit of death is here. Spirit of death is here. It's here, and we need to arrest it. You don't come to the house of God to die. This is where you find life. No death survives here. So I take authority over death. I take authority over death. Spirit of death is here. Spirit of death is here. It's hanging on your family. Bring the person. Bring the person. God has called me to send death backward. Say, Colin. Say, Colin. I have authority over death. And I break the yoke of death on your family. In the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of death over your family. In the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of death over your family. I break it. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh. Oh. Now listen. A native doctor is contending with someone in this place. I want to decree something. I want to decree. You don't come here to die. 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 Oh, can we pray? Can we pray finally? Oh, Jesus. Isamo Kura. Isamo Selikatia. Samo Santelia. Samo Kondema. Yama mama. Rukaba. Yakosama. I shield you in the name of Jesus. Hey. I shield you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, now Satan has gone back. So I can bless you now. And I ask, oh God, that you stretch forth your hand over everyone in this congregation, everyone online, and let your blessing rest upon them. Let your blessing rest upon them. Let your favor rest upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That during the course of 2022, you will move them forward. You will move them forward. Your hand will be strong with them, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Aha. You see, the blessing has rested. Now, those of you here will continue. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming after the...
Please remain standing.